Go ahead, 14.
Roger, Bruce. I have a few observations about the light flash experiment that I'd like to pass on, and perhaps you can generate some information from it that might be useful to us.
Would you stand by a minute, please, Ed?
Okay, standing by.
Apollo 14, this is Houston. Ed, go ahead with your commentary on the cosmic ray light flashes, and we'll digest what you've got and give you our views back probably in a couple hours, over.
Okay, Bruce. First of all, let me say we all decided to try to dark adapt and run the experiment, or at least part of it, last night. I think our experience was that we probably saw one flash after dark adapting and promptly fell asleep before we saw any more. At least that's true in my case. I think I'll still stay awake a bit longer. However, I think we have seen only three types of flashes so far. What we would probably call a star, a supernova, and a flash, or rather in a streak. And I think that I have seen some, don't recall a name we tacked to them, but reminiscent of the lightning flashing in or behind the clouds. Those are the only ones that we have really identified, and it takes a while to realize what you are seeing because it happens so quickly that it takes a little bit of practice before you can really recognize these things. I think perhaps after watching them for another period or so, we will be a little more experienced at it and be able to do a more credible job of dark adapting and getting the sort of data that would be right. My experience is that even the so-called star, the supernova, are not as clean a phenomena or clear a picture as I had in my mind that they would appear. There still seem to be at least two flashes, maybe a bright flash followed an instant later by a more subdued flash, or perhaps a halo-like effect. There does not seem to be a set pattern in each case. Sometimes it's a very clear single flash, sometimes it seems followed by a halo, sometimes it seems followed by an adjacent flash. I guess that's about all I have to say at the moment.
Roger, Ed, I think we've copied all
that. I'd like to add a few comments on that too, Bruce.
Go ahead.
Hey, Bruce, do you read?
Roger, 14, go.
Okay, Bruce, I'd like to make, you asked just about whether we saw them before we were dark adapted, so last night I took my flashlight and shined it in both my eyes, and of course, you know, that should run your, any dark adaption you would have, and in fact, you know, you got the residual glow in your eye for a minute, and then closed them, and in one case, less than a minute, I had to start seeing the flashes, and on the second time around, I'd say it's probably around 2 minutes before I start picking them up.
Okay, Stu, and were you seeing, when you started seeing him, did you see a number of flashes? Ed reported, I think he saw just about one before he fell asleep.
Well, what we did was we set the timer on 20 minutes, and I heard the timer go off, and by that time I had only seen four or five flashes that I could recall. However, at some other periods during the night, that isn't when I did the flashlight routine. That was later on, more toward this morning, when I started playing with the flashlight. And in one case, I saw one, and then followed not too long after that by four or five, and then haven't really picked up any pattern on that. You may see one, and then three or four, you may see one, wait a while. Can't really, it's a little difficult to time in the dark, you know, and get a feel. And as far as the types of...
Okay, we're switching antennas, Stu.
Three types. However, my supernova is an explosion just in one. It's very rare I'll see a discrete pinpoint of light for a minute. And then the streaks I've noticed are all what I would consider over at the periphery of my vision. It appears that almost all the streaks are right along the edge of my eye, and I get the impression that the majority of these are running, say, longitudinal with the axis of my body. And it seems rare that I see a streak that's right in the center of my vision.
This is Ed. I have had a little different experience than Stu has. I don't think I have seen quite as many streaks as he seems to, but I have seen some that appear to be going from right to left near the center of the field of vision. However, I have mostly been concentrating on trying to identify the types as opposed to locating them and getting their frequency. I did observe one right after we started to dark adapt, about 20 seconds, but nothing after that. As I say, I think I fell asleep sometime within a couple of minutes after that.
Do we have any observations from the commander?
He's busy cooking breakfast right now.
All right, Roger. And I guess we just went through an antenna switch over, and we've got some news here if you all are ready.
I have only one comment, I think, to echo the other from the light flashes. They do seem to be random, sort of a showery type pattern. They aren't visible in a darkened cabin within a very few minutes after turning the lights out, perhaps a smaller time as 1 or 2 minutes. And as far as the characteristics of flashes are concerned, I've observed about what the other guys have.
Roger, we copy, Al. Now, 14 Houston, are you interested in some news?
Roger, press on.
Okay, from the sports world, Marquette's streaking Warriors continued to hold forth as the nation's top-ranked college basketball power Monday, while unbeaten Southern California displaced defending champion UCLA in a runner-up spot. Houston, 15-3. Is a newcomer to the top 20. The Cougars, who play Long Island U in Madison Square Garden Thursday night, moved into the number 18 spot. USC and UCLA will collide Saturday at Southern Cal. Too bad we don't have a TV uplink for you.
It'd be pretty nice.
14, this is Bo Bobco. How do you read?
Good morning, Bo. Loud and clear. How are you?
Just fine, sir. This is Washington Associated Press. The Food and Drug Administration said tests on compressed fish products, such as frozen dinners, fish sticks, and fish cakes, show mercury content well below the danger level. The FDA said Monday more than 80 samples contained an average mercury level of 0.06 parts per million. Under FDA guidelines, fish with a half part per million is withdrawn from the market.
The chill blast of a February norther blew into Texas Monday, dropping the temperature sharply after the summer-like weather which closed out last week. January's last day saw temperatures in the 90s at several points in deep south Texas, and it was one of the driest months ever back here in Houston. Here in Texas, the Dallas Weather Station, for example, measured 0.16, that's 16 one-hundredths of an inch of rain, against the normal 2.32 inches for January.
The rarest atom particle reported found. New York, Associated Press. Physicists from the University of California reported Monday they have discovered the rarest and most elusive of the nuclear particles within the atom. They found the particle's track on a photograph of a nuclear interaction, an inch-long footprint it left during its brief lifetime of 15 billionths of a second. The particle is called the anti-mega-minus-baryon antiparticle, the mirror image of matter as we know it on Earth. The discovery is related to the idea that somewhere out there in space, there are galaxies made up of antimatter, just as galaxies or star clusters, such as the one we live in, the Milky Way, is made of matter.
Hey, Bo, I think I saw one of those just go by the window.
Grab it quick.
Hey, Stu,
how long did they say the track was that it was... how long did they say the track was that they had seen?
An inch-long footprint it left during its brief lifetime of 15 billionths of a second. They said, we had a standing offer of a case of champagne to whoever found it, Goldhaber said. When I get back to the lab, I have to deliver.
Do you think Stu qualifies for one also?
All right, let it get away, Bruce.
Hey, that's a pretty great piece of news.
Okay, on Wall Street, investors bought heavily on Monday, giving the Dow Jones Industrial Average its highest single-day gain of the year. The Dow Jones average of 30 industrial stocks closed up at 877.81, up 9.31 points for the biggest one-day jump in 71. Trading was heavy throughout the session, with the New York Stock Exchange ticker backed up a minute or more several times during the day. The tape was 3 minutes late at the close.
Washington, UPI, the administration is considering a pollution tax, such as a levy on emissions of air-polluting sulfur dioxides, in an effort to give industry an incentive to clean up, President Nixon's economic report said Monday. The report, prepared by the President's Council of Economic Advisors and sent to Congress under Mr. Nixon's signature, said a tax may be a more effective way to control pollution than direct government regulation.
At 9:03 tonight, the Apollo 14 crew will begin operating under NASA's own version of daylight savings time. The readjustment of the mission clocks will bring the flight back to the actual real-time, Greenwich Mean Time, for activities as scheduled in the flight plan. At 9:03 p.m., the flight will be 54 hours into the mission. However, under the nominal flight plan, the 54-hour mark should have been reached at 8:23. To correct this, the crew will move their mission elapsed time clock ahead 40 minutes to coincide with the real-time clock.
This is by Francis Dodds, Austin, a bill creating an upper-level college at Clear Lake as a branch of the University of Houston has been approved by the Senate Education Committee. The bill, introduced by Senator Chet Brooks of Pasadena, would create the University of Houston Clear Lake campus primarily to serve six area junior colleges. The proposed 360-acre campus is adjacent to the Manned Spacecraft Center. The proposed college must be started immediately, Hoffman said, for two reasons. To be of service to San Jacinto Junior College, Alvin Junior College, Brazosport Junior College, Lee Junior College, College of the Mainland, and Galveston Community College, and to help limit enrollment at the University of Houston's main campus to 30,000. And then on later it says that the University of Houston Clear Lake would accept students with 56 or more semester hours and would offer degrees through the master's level.
That's pretty interesting news.
Yeah.
Rochester, New York. Brooks Robinson, outstanding player in the World Series with his glove and bat, was named Monday night as winner of the 21st Annual Hickok Professional Athlete of the Year Award. The 33-year-old third baseman of the baseball champion Baltimore Orioles won by a large margin over another veteran, 43-year-old George Blanda, quarterback of Pro Football's Oakland Raiders. Robinson, who hit .428 in the World Series and made a series of spectacular fielding plays in the five-game triumph over the Cincinnati Reds, received 62 of the 146 first-place votes by a panel of sports writers and newscasters. And that winds up the news for this evening down here, this morning up there. Good night or morning, Bo.
I'm going home and have dinner.
Hey, thank you, guys. Still don't understand that bit about changing the time on the Apollo 14 crew. I can't figure out what those guys are doing with that.
Hey, that was a good newscast. You know, you're pretty high in the ratings up here.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. This is Apollo Control at 51 hours, 56 minutes. Helping out Capcom Bruce McCandless on reading the news there was astronaut Carol Bobko. And at the present time, Apollo 14 is traveling at a velocity of 3,002 feet per second, and we show the current altitude 162,934 nautical miles from Earth.